If you want to fulfill your potential or help other people fulfill their potential so you can feel great and get the rewards and respect you deserve, then I want to give you a free physical copy of my new best-selling book, because you deserve to know the truth. The most important things for fulfilling your potential are not tips, tricks, hacks, therapy, coaching, meditation, breathwork, goal setting, journaling, or finding your why. I know it sounds irrational because we're so used to hearing about using these things to help us fulfill our potential. But these approaches are outdated and ineffective, and they are based on a big lie.
To find out more and get your free physical copy of Dr. John Finn's best-selling book, The Habit Mechanic, go to tougherminds.co.uk.
Hello, Habit Mechanics. It's Dr. John Finn here. I hope you're having a fantastic week so far. Welcome to a shorter episode of the Habit Mechanic podcast. Remember, you can listen to live episodes of the Habit Mechanic podcast inside the Habit Mechanic University app, where you can ask us questions live and we will answer you during the live streamed podcast. Inside the app, you can also access your Habit Mechanic toolkit. You can also watch our live masterclasses and join our live Change Challenge coaching sessions. You can download the app for free. We're coming into we're in the UK, we're in autumn now. I know people are joining us from across the world, but the nights are getting darker. Summer is fading away. And it feels like as we get back into the busyness of life in September, then it's easier for stress to become more overwhelming. And one of the things that I've seen trending this week or last week as well is the increased problems that social media platforms are having in our day-to-day lives. And I want to dig into that in today's session, because as we're going on our journey as Habit Mechanics, we are going to come up against challenges and difficulties. And if we can understand what they are and why they're problematic and why they stop us being at our best, we've got a better chance of dealing with them. So we'll dig into a little bit of that today in the context of the learning war. As ever, please do join in, ask us questions. We're predominantly here so you can ask us questions in real time. So anything, any questions you've got about the app, equally, anything you want to contribute towards the discussion, it'd be fascinating to hear your thoughts. If you are joining us, let us know where you're joining us from. It's just a good to get a sense of who's listening. So I'm joined today by my friend and colleague, Andrew Whiteland. And Andrew's going to help us dig into this learning war idea. So how are you doing, Andrew?
Yeah, hi there, John. Yeah, great to be here again. Yeah, I know the learning war is a concept you introduced in the Habit Mechanic book, and you talk about our senses, our attention being literally assaulted, literally attacked by all these different distractions, and social media is just one of them, but nevertheless a very potent and powerful distraction at that, that's probably leading the assault. It's the spearhead, to use a military metaphor. And this documentary that's recently shown on the BBC focused on one social media platform, TikTok. And it's called The TikTok Effect. It's been released, I think, on iPlayer as well, for anybody who wants to catch up with it. I think you had an opportunity to see some of it, John. And if anybody thinks the learning war is an exaggeration or perhaps an exaggerated term, well, this makes it very clear it's not, John. It's very real for many people, isn't it?
Yes, and I think slowly but surely, social media and big tech has infiltrated our lives and absolutely conditioned a lot of what we think and do each day. And it's the governments have been and still are very poor at legislating against it. And therefore, they can pretty much do what they want. And we're starting to see some pretty scary consequences of that now. So, yeah, it's real. It's here. It's impacting our lives, but it's doing it fairly invisibly. So if we want to get better at managing it for ourselves and for our loved ones, we need to, first of all, be aware of what it is.
Yeah, and this documentary I mentioned, the TikTok effect, as I say, available on BBC iPlayer. I think it's produced by the BBC's disinformation reporter, Mariana Spring, which is a new position the BBC have created to reflect the growth in things like social media and the potential social consequences of it. This documentary did show, John, that TikTok wasn't just a distraction. It wasn't problematic in that way. It was actually having real world consequences. It was creating public order problems, disorder in our communities, violence, goodness me, in even some cases, police investigations being interfered with. So real world damaging consequences for sure.
Yeah, so it's... In the TikTok's case, TikTok is driven by participation. And it's really interesting. I'm searching for the name of the academic. He wrote a book called Influence. And I'll have his books on my shelves here somewhere, but I can't think what it's called. Robert Cialdini, I think, or Cialdini, big American professor, wrote a book about social psychology, probably in the 80s. And I think he talked about the 7 factors of influence. And I was reading his latest book last summer, and he talked about the next factor that he'd uncovered. And the example he gave was, why are pop stars so influential? Why do people like Taylor Swift and, to go back on a timeline to the Beatles, why are they so compelling? Why do they really magnetize people's attention? And he talks about it's the participation effect, because when they're playing their music, you're singing along. You're even strumming your guitar, you're doing your dance. And actually, the origin of TikTok is just that. So I can't remember, I think it was called ByteDance, the original version of TikTok. And it was originally designed as almost like a karaoke site where you sang a song and you shared it. And it's grown from there. So that's its main differentiator compared to the other social media sites. And it's that participation that seems to be fueling its growth. And it absolutely understands that. And it's absolutely pushing this idea. So it's getting people to do, in this documentary, it's showing how it's getting children at school to do silly things that are actually causing riots. This is real in UK schools. And if it's in the UK, it's going to be in other countries as well. It's showing how people are, there'll be a major crime that's being committed. And the one example is some college students killed in America. And people were going to the crime scene and being like amateur sleuths and disturbing the crime scene and really getting in the way of the police investigation. So it's really... dopamine is the driver of all these services, but it's particularly playing on participation. And we know the role, if we go back to how brains work, we know the role of social influence, social status. Social influence is one of the 9 action factors. The P in the 8 brain acronym, Alive Perceived Energy, shows the important role of social status. So we know that in our brains, for example, that the parts of our brain that tell us we're thirsty and we're hungry are hardwired into the parts of our brain that make us aware of what other important people in our lives think about us. Our social status is really key. It makes perfect sense why that is the case, because Homo sapiens are not designed, or Homo sapiens are not the biggest or fastest animal on the planet. So how have we prospered so well? It's because we're better than any other at working intelligently in teams. So when we're in a team, our survival chances go up because we're going to be able to deal with the problems we're facing more effectively, whether that's learning how to light a fire, build a shelter, or create a COVID vaccine. That's all done in teams. Also, if other people around us like us, we've got a better chance of passing our genes on, which is the core driver of evolution and survival, right? So it's plugging into these primal instincts that we have to be liked by other people, but supercharging that to an extent that we've never been able to do it before. We forget smartphone technology, and people talk about, you know, the tech inside our smartphones is more powerful than the systems that sent the first people to the moon back in the 60s. This is new technology, and smartphones have only been around for about 10 or so years now. And at first, not everybody had one. And then a few more people got one. We've got to the point now where most people have one. Most people have this technology in their pocket. So we're able to connect with each other, not just via SMM text message, but by very rich video and even augmented video ways of communicating with each other. So why do social media companies want to do this? Why do they want to drive participation? So they can sell you more ads. That is how they make their money. So they want to drive participation so they can sell you more ads. And this is the attention economy that we talk about. If you want to fulfill your potential or help other people fulfill their potential so you can feel great and get the rewards and respect you deserve, then I want to give you a free physical copy of my new best-selling book, because you deserve to know the truth. The most important things for fulfilling your potential are not tips, tricks, hacks, therapy, coaching, meditation, breathwork, goal setting, journaling, or finding your why. I know it sounds irrational because we're so used to hearing about using these things to help us fulfill our potential. But these approaches are outdated and ineffective, and they are based on a big lie.
To find out more and get your free physical copy of Dr. John Finn's best-selling book, The Habit Mechanic, go to tougherminds.co.uk.
Yeah, and one thing in the documentary that really struck me, John, and connects to what you've just said, apparently TikTok actually emails you if you're a creator, if you're producing content on the platform. TikTok emails you to tell you you're a hit. It says you're doing well. So that absolutely connects with the social status factor that you've highlighted.
Yeah, so that shows you that they are deliberately hijacking your attention. They are going to their gamification playbook and saying, right, what else can we do to hook these people in? To essentially create more content for our platform, get more people's attention so we can sell them more ads. So yeah, it's real.
Do you think the fact that the videos are so short deliberately, there's a TikTok, I suppose, is if it's known for one thing other than the way we're describing it, it's known for brief videos. Is brevity a factor in making this more addictive for us?
Yes, because we have very short attention spans, and I talk in the Habit Mechanic about how our attention spans are shortening. We're in the world of where we're seeing an increased diagnosis of things like ADHD, which I think is a problematic term, but a part of a diagnosis in ADHD would be about I find it hard to pay sustained attention to things. But this is because we're living in a world where everybody's attention span is shortening, because we are practicing paying attention to shorter form content. So if we think about a long distance runner, so someone who practices running long distances, so they practice running 5 miles. They do that every week. They might do it multiple times a week. And by doing that, their physiology is adapting so that they can run 5 miles. If they then start to shorten their training, and instead of practicing running 5 miles, they practice running 400 meters, their physiology changes and it starts to optimize towards running 400 meters. So that when they then try to run, if they've been doing 400 meter training for a few weeks, a few months, if they then try to run the 5 mile again, guess what? Their 5 mile time isn't as good. It's been reduced because their physiology has changed. This is what's happening to our attention, is that we are practicing, we are being conditioned to practice using our attention in a different way. And the social media platforms like TikTok are wise to this, and it's just making it as easy as possible for us to engage in their content by making it as brain friendly as possible. We are designed to save energy, so we're looking for the easiest thing that we can think or do for the biggest reward possible. So people talk about that as, you know, short-term gratification. So we're being sucked into these short-term gratification loops. And before things like TikTok and Facebook, etc., came along, what did people used to do? Well, it was something different, and it wasn't consuming content in that form. I was going for a run the other morning on my running route. It's about 7:30 in the morning. There's essentially a bus stop where kids get picked up to go to one of the local private schools. There was about 7 kids in a row, all different ages. All of them were on their phones. Not one of them was speaking to anybody else. So they're not even, so what I see young people, they're not practicing communicating like they would have done in the past. They're just practicing paying attention to these scrolling feeds and doing, you know, what, paying attention to what's here. So they're conditioning themselves to get good at this particular thing. And adults are doing that as well, by the way. It's not just young people.
Yeah, and you can imagine, John, how becoming conditioned in that way is unhelpful and not at all conducive to achieving long-term objectives, accomplishments, goals, where you need to sustain long-term focus.
So this is exactly it. We talked about happiness being a three-part equation. Part one, get your brain working really well. That means good sleep, good diet, good exercise, good social relationships. Part two, have some hedonic experiences. Let your hair down, have some fun. Spend some time on an app that you enjoy. Do some things that you enjoy or that give you instant gratification. Part three, we have to engage in eudaimonic experiences. That means we have to delay short-term gratification. We have to delay the hedonic experiences sometimes, not engage with them, so that we can focus, engage efforts to make progress on things and achieve bigger, meaningful goals. What the social media platforms are doing is they're making it harder to balance that equation. They're making it easier to have almost endless hedonic experiences, you know, 24/7 if you want, which makes it more difficult to get your brain working really well. And it also makes it more difficult to have eudaimonic experiences where you feel like you're achieving meaningful goals and getting more control you know, over your life, and making that personal progress is so key. So it's so disruptive, and the challenge is that it's unchecked at the moment. It doesn't seem like governments can legislate against it, because the social media companies just say, well, we don't do that, or, oh yeah, we've noticed that, we'll fix it. It's the equivalent of someone being caught for armed robbery and saying, oh, we don't do that, I didn't do that, or, oh yeah, I won't do it again, sorry, you know, we won't do that again anymore. They're not being held accountable, and they've just put some legislation in, the European Union has, and the UK government has. I think the UK government sees the online safety bill, but we haven't seen that enforced yet. So yeah, I think it's really scary. I think it's really, really scary.
Yeah, I've not looked at the content of the online safety bill, I'm ashamed to say, but you'd have to imagine that any reasonably effective piece of legislation would have to take into account not only are dangerous ideas being suggested, but the effect that these platforms can have in terms of creating destructive habits is dangerous too. Would you put it in those terms, John?
Yeah, it is dangerous. It's destructive for our well-being, for our happiness, for our performance individually and collectively. So it's definitely contributing in a negative way. But no one's intervening. So it's problematic.
Yeah, I just going back to the social status element that you talked about and the insights you shared with us on that. One of the TikTok creators, so-called, in the documentary that they focused on was one of these amateur sleuths, as you rightly put it, and it related to the murders of college students in America. She said, I have the power to be a journalist now. I have the power. I just wonder if she's getting rewarded by the system saying you're being watched. She feels she's somehow gained in status. Is that part of it too?
If you want to fulfill your potential or help other people fulfill their potential so you can feel great and get the rewards and respect you deserve, then I want to give you a free physical copy of my new best-selling book, because you deserve to know the truth. The most important things for fulfilling your potential are not tips, tricks, hacks, therapy, coaching, meditation, breathwork, goal setting, journaling, or finding your why. I know it sounds irrational because we're so used to hearing about using these things to help us fulfill our potential. But these approaches are outdated and ineffective, and they are based on a big lie.
To find out more and get your free physical copy of Dr. John Finn's best-selling book, The Habit Mechanic, go to tougherminds.co.uk.
Yeah, so that's a great example of social status increase. So there's an identity that she perceives to be a valuable identity. I'm a journalist. And then I'm getting more followers, more likes. You know, it's the like button is the most powerful. I saw some research on this the other day. It's the most powerful attention grabber in the modern world. It's the thing it's that dopamine hit. I remember dopamine is an anticipatory reward. So we don't get a dopamine release when the good thing happens. We get the dopamine release in the anticipation of the good thing happening. So when you get that trigger email, keep going, because you're going to get even more followers. That gives you a dopamine hit. So yeah, it's very, very problematic.
How would you advise a family or a young person if they wanted to try and break the TikTok habit how would you advise them to go about it?
Yeah, well, so this is the good news, is that by becoming a habit mechanic, and everyone on the call is on their habit mechanic journey, this is how we counter this stuff and take more control over what we think and do and our habits ultimately. So for me, the first thing is, we can go to the nine action factors. We've got to create a fam story. We've got to know what do I want to achieve in my life? What are the things that I want to have and do in the future? And we do that work with very young children. And I don't really see that work being done in education, for example. I don't see that work being done in organisations. You know, you have a performance review, but it's often not connected to big, meaningful fam story type ideas. So in the app, the first thing to do is to make sure that you're building out your long-term and monthly goals. This is in the toolkit section of the app. And also then start to create your daily and weekly goals. So you've got that timeline. These are the types of things I want to be achieving in the future. This means that today I need to be focusing on these things. Then what you can do is analyze your habits. So you can use the habit metric tools just to start thinking about, well, what are the things that you're doing every day that are helping you, but they're going to help you to achieve those bigger meaningful goals, but also what's getting in the way of you doing that. And then you can target one unhelpful or destructive habit that you want to work on, and you can start to create a plan to help you to do that. So if it's the case that I want to use my social media less often because I need to focus on, if we take that family example, I want to focus on my GCSEs, or if we take another little example, I want to get that next job promotion. What I might start doing is I might start to use the Willpower Story tool. A lot of what's in the Willpower Story is structured into the daily and weekly goals section of the app. The first thing that I might want to do to really nail a Willpower Story is to understand my activation levels. So I might go into the app, into the activation section, in the training section, and I might create an activation profile to recognize where I ideally need to get my activation levels to be at my best in a work day versus where they are now. And I can start to see where the gaps are. Then what I might do is I might think about, list down all the jobs that I need to do this week. And I might separate those jobs into high sculpture jobs, which I need my high charge brain to do, and also ice cube jobs, which I need my medium charge brain to do. And I might put a time commitment next to each of those jobs that I need to do, so I can get a real, real clear sense of the time commitment needed to do these things. And then what I might need to do, or what I might do, is put a priority number next to each of the jobs, so that I put the highest priority ones at the top of the list, the lowest ones at the bottom. And then what I can do is I can use the Willpower Story framework. And just to take a step backwards, in the daily and weekly goal setting section of the app, you can associate brain states, you can associate time commitments, etc. But then every day, what I might do, like I've just done here, is I just draw a timeline and I write down the jobs that I'm going to do that day, when I'm going to do them, and you package this in with your, so my tea plan every day is to do a Willpower Story in the working week. So we start to use these long-term, weekly and daily tools that we have in the Habit Mechanic Toolkit to help us to recognize the things that we want to do, and also to give ourselves a better chance of doing the things that we want to do, getting our attention onto where we want to get our attention. So that's going to start to break the habit of checking social media. And within our Willpower Story, you might recognize, well, wait a minute, I need to turn my phone off there in that period. I need to delete the app from my phone because it's not helping me to achieve my goals. So we've got a systematic end-to-end approach that we can use to help us to build better habits in these areas.
Yeah, and I think, I don't know, if you'd say one thing as we come to the close of the half hour, John, these apps, the effect they have, platforms like TikTok is so powerful. It is an assault on our senses, and it's right to describe the context we're in modern society as a learning war. Would you say that people should at least cut themselves some slack for developing these destructive habits, because such is the power of the assault on their senses.
Yes. However, we have to go back to that question. How well did you do your best to be at your best? And if you give it, if you give yourself a six, that don't worry about that. That's kind of cutting yourself some slack in the sense of, well, I'm not going to be perfect all the time. But the key thing is, if you're at a six today or you're a six yesterday, what can you do to do a little bit better today? The social media companies do not care about you. They do not care about your well-being, your happiness, your performance. All they're interested in is your attention and telling their customers, who are big corporate companies that are trying to sell you goods, telling them how many eyeballs they have on in their platforms and why their marketing fees are justified. So if you want to be at your best, you've got to take personal responsibility for it. And that doesn't mean you need to be perfect all the time. In fact, it probably means you never will. We never will be perfect. It just means we need to be proactive in doing intelligent self-watching, having a clear aim, and then creating that habit building plan that's going to give us the best chance of doing more and thinking more of the things that are going to help us to be at our best today and tomorrow and so on. So that means that we're going to be getting better at destroying our destructive habits and building more super habits.
If it's perhaps a difficult question to answer, John, but if you had one message for legislators in the UK, in Europe, perhaps in the US, who start to think about what they can do on a broader scale to combat the effect these platforms are having, what might that be?
Don't be scared to close them down. Don't be scared to ban them from your territory if they're stepping over the line. I think there needs to be a line drawn in the sand now, to say, in our region, these are the rules. And if your platform is not obeying the rules, then there's no space for your platform here. And I think that's the only way to make these organizations seriously think about what they're doing, and some of the damaging things that they're doing.
Well, I have to say, I personally agree with you, John. And when we've seen police investigations into the disappearances of people disrupted, when we've seen police investigations into murders disrupted, when we've seen public disorder, people might say that the latter was caused by things like alcohol. But when it can be traced to social media platforms, I think what you've said, John, has to be taken very, very seriously indeed. And to me, it seems absolutely appropriate to suggest something like that. So let's hope we've given people food for thought in this Change Challenge coaching session. Anything you'd like to say as we draw to a close, John?
Yeah, just thanks for joining us today. Remember, the calendar is our best friend as habit mechanics, because it allows us to focus on the day, the week, the month, and the year. And we have habit mechanic tools for all those different time points. So if we want to give ourselves the best chance of destroying more destructive habits and building more super habits, it's important that we don't just use the daily tea plan in isolation, or we don't just use a fam story in isolation, or the long-term and monthly goals in the app. It's important that we have a daily, weekly, monthly, bi-monthly, quarterly, yearly structures that we're cycling around. So use the tools in combination, and you're going to get a much more powerful effect. As powerful as social media is, you can beat it. I know I've done it myself. Big way of how I do that is I just withdraw from platforms. I'm not even on WhatsApp, which might feel extreme to some people, but I just see it's the same. It's playing the same game. It just wants my attention. So we just need to be proactive, remove the apps from your phone, or time them out, and you're going to get more time back to focus on doing the things that are most helpful for you. You know, in its simplest sense, that's the main thing that we can do if we want to feel healthier, happier, and at our best more often is spend more time thinking and doing things that are helpful for us. So I hope that's helpful. If you have any more questions, let me know. And bye for now.
If you want to fulfill your potential or help other people fulfill their potential so you can feel great and get the rewards and respect you deserve, then I want to give you a free physical copy of my new best-selling book, because you deserve to know the truth. The most important things for fulfilling your potential are not tips, tricks, hacks, therapy, coaching, meditation, breathwork, goal setting, journaling, or finding your why. I know it sounds irrational because we're so used to hearing about using these things to help us fulfill our potential. But these approaches are outdated and ineffective, and they are based on a big lie.
To find out more and get your free physical copy of Dr. John Finn's best-selling book, The Habit Mechanic, go to tougherminds.co.uk.